Now, as we were talking about earlier on the programme this morning, the European Parliament has voted to approve the final version of the Nature Restoration Law to protect and restore biodiversity, a major milestone after 2 years of heated debate. The law seeks to restore at least 20% of the EU's land and sea areas by 2030 and all ecosystems by 2050, putting forward measures to restore urban, forest, agricultural and marine ecosystems. 324 MEPs voted in favour of the law yesterday, 275 votes against and 24 abstentions. And as we outlined already, 11 of Ireland's MEPs from the Green Party, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and two independents voted to support the law. Only two, independent Luke McFlanagan and Sinn Féin's Chris McManus, voted against this. Proposals to restore degraded land in particular have received significant pushback from farmers who say it could lower their productivity, which led to intense debate, of course, over the law in Europe. And we have heard from the Minister for State, Department of Office of Public Works. He's not happy. He says it will make his job much harder to try and protect people's home from flooding. Well, with me on the line to talk about this from his perspective is a man who's running for the European elections, coming up, of course, in June this year, Patrick Murphy, who's an A2 candidate running in the Ireland South European elections. You'll know him from his work in the fishing lobby sector as well. Patrick, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Gerry, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for allowing me to come on.
You're stepping over from the campaigning, the lobbying side into politics. We'll talk in a moment about what you hope to happen and what you hope to do on behalf of A2 in Europe. What's your response to the vote yesterday, the Nature Restoration Law passing in this way and the implications?
I think one word I'd use is reckless. I think that that's the easiest way to describe it, because with every law that comes in, there's complications and there is a requirement to follow the law, right, regardless of how that's implemented and interpreted. So when you say, just come back to the last thing you said, degraded land. So what they're calling degraded land is land that farmers were told to reclaim, right, and to make it usable for to grow grass and other crops on it, for to provide food. So I wouldn't call that degraded land. I would call that reclaimed land. Now, that's what it was called before. So I have a huge issue with that, Gerry, because people were told after milk quotas were abolished that Ireland had an opportunity to increase their milk production, right? Make Ireland a richer country, put more money inside in farmers' pockets, make it a viable and future and sustainable industry for people in the industry. We've seen our farming community go from 54% of the working population in the 20s to 1973, went down to 20%, and now we have around 3% of the working population in agriculture providing food for everybody to eat. And this, I feel, is going to set farmers against each other, because as you said, degraded land means in other areas of legislation under Green Deal, Farm to Fork and other legislation that is there, there's a consequence to that. If you're seen to be producing land food from a degraded land, then it doesn't get the same stamps and green approvals that other products. That means you're going to be at a disadvantage. It's the same thing that happened in fishing. And just to the listener, I've been saying this because we're in Europe. When these laws are being introduced, we are at the advisory council stages. So we get to hear this in its inception stage. And I've been warning about this coming for the last number of years. And you ask me why that again to politics? Because of the MEPs that listened to what the warnings we had said and barristers had told them, only two decided to err on the side of caution for their people, and 11 of them decided that they would not listen to the warnings and they'd go ahead with this regardless
of all the consequences. They're making the argument that this is the best balance that they could strike. Is it fair, Pat, notwithstanding, I know you're not happy with it, right? You're not happy with what's been passed and you have concerns, right? But is it fair to call it reckless? This went on for 2 years. It now is to go to European Council. Like, that makes it sound like it was dreamt up yesterday and they weren't considering it, they didn't listen to anybody, and they just voted into law today. Is that not a bit unfair?
No, because I'll explain to you, because I also was predicting the devastating effects of changes in legislation and what would happen to our fishing industry. So in 2004, we had 400 fishing boats over 15 metres in our fleet, and now we're down to 120. So it's the same thing.
You're saying it's exactly the same thing, and that's why you feel it was
exactly
reckless.
Exactly the same. Absolutely.
But is it fair to call it reckless, though, given that gives the intention that it's like it's been rushed or panicked or they were just doing it without consideration?
No, it's No, it's reckless on the people that it affects. And let me put it to you this way. I had a young lad that called me yesterday, right, that worked with my father all his life on the farm, took the onus off me, so he stepped into the breach, a young lad that worked since he was 15 years of age. He has his own farm. He modernised his milking parlour. He changed the breed of his cattle. He reclaimed the land. And he told me yesterday, just bear with me now, this is what people need to hear.
Yeah.
In 2012, they were getting 38 cent a litre for milk. He was told yesterday, you know, that magically that's gone up to 39 cent a litre. So in the last 12 years, the massive increase in costs and have been borne by this lad and his family. And now it's reckless because they're jeopardising this man's future. And there's, like, people have to understand, people are giving up their lives in this. There's people in the industry that have committed suicide. So of course it's reckless, because if these people are on the edge as it is, and trust me, I know what I'm talking about because it happened to me in my industry. And for me personally, I nearly lost everything that I owned because of changes in legislation and recklessness by those around me who didn't look after me in legislation. Like, luckily enough, my son now and my other son is involved in the industry where we're growing organic mussels. So I'm not speaking about this unless I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I will stand over those words. Absolutely reckless.
What
and the
do you
lives
say
of
then
these
to
people.
The reality that 81% of assessed habitats around Europe are considered to be in poor condition? How do we address that if we don't do it in this way?
Exactly. So what you do is that you support the people, right, that you're asking to change it. You support them. You don't just tell them tomorrow morning, listen, everything we advised you years ago and all the money you borrowed now is no good to you, so go back again. So what they're saying is to change the farming and set aside. And farmers are in agreement with this, and so are fishermen. There's a misconception out there that fishermen or farmers are resistant to changes. Absolutely not. They see the climate changes that are affecting their living. And I've put this up in presentations where the seas are getting worse, where land is being flooded, where it's making it harder. So of course they're sensitive to nature changes and changes in climate change. They're the first ones to tell you they will. So of course they're willing to change and change their practices. But they can't be just told, right, the legislation is in, here we go, and we're going to beat you with a stick now and going to make it harder. We're going to take away your supports and in fact not give you more supports. That's what farmers are looking for. That's why they're protesting.
Green MEP, it's not one that of those who voted. Yeah, one of those who voted in favour says, look, this decision gives us a fighting chance to reverse hundreds of years of degradation and damage that have inflicted on our resource systems. Ireland is one of the most nature-depleted countries in the world. What's good for nature is good for climate and biodiversity, for farming and food production, for health and well-being, for water quality, food protection, tourism and recreation. There are huge benefits. You're saying she's totally wrong. 100% wrong.
Absolutely, because as I said, what is degraded? Like, you were talking about land here that was reclaimed and reused for a different purpose, and they're now saying that that was wrong, but they asked people to do this for food production, and now they're coming back and they're saying, oh, we've changed their mind, and we have to change it back.
I understand that, but like, if they're compensated for it, would that not work? And you have to change with the circumstances that are coming forward. I'll give you an example of what you're saying. You're talking about, we were told incorrectly, and unfortunately companies involved weren't 100% truthful or anything like it. We were told all to buy diesel cars because their emissions were lower. That was wrong. It had to be changed. You have to move with the circumstances. It's your response.
Yeah, and then, but you can also talk about the lithium mines that are being pulled out of the ground, the amount of plastics. And but one second, Jerry, let me finish this point. There is no proper evaluation of the carbon footprint that goes into those vehicles when they're being made, and the amount of carbon by the time that carbon is paid back before it balances. They both are started in the forecourt inside in the garage. It's that, well, this is how much diesel goes in and the other is electricity. And we look at the fuel and the carbon that's burned to set up the electrics, but not about the lithium batteries and everything else, and the time, how long a car will last. Like, you know, before I was told that repairing a car rather than buying a new one is better for the environment because you keep it going longer and you put in less resources into the car. So it depends on your perception. But look, let's get back to where we were talking about now, the Nature Restoration Bill and that, and I'll give you an example. So I'm at a table here again today in the Pelagic Advisory Council, and we're going through the legislation, the science and everything else. So I'm up to date in all this, trust me, 100%, I know it. So I'll give you the example. So we're being told by NGOs like our Green MEP that we should get away with this change in tax rate for engines and stuff like that in the marine environment, and that'll force the transition over to new technology. But I explained to them is that once a vessel's engine gets to a certain number of hours, the insurance company will not insure that engine, so they have to take out the engine and put in another engine. So of course they take a cheaper and better technology. technology and they've been forced into that. They need to be supported. That's the difference,
Patrick,
Gerry,
between the practicality. We're short on time. What will you be resisting all of these changes, or would it make a difference if you were voted in as an Ireland South MEP for A2?
Sorry, you there?
Okay, yeah, sorry, we just lost you there for a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks, Gerry.
What difference will you make if you're elected?
What I'll do is you implement supports for people like this and you and get people to change over like I did. So when I started in aquaculture and mussels, we were buying molasses barrels and putting nets in them. Then we got a brand new barrel and we used it, and we used a plastic welder to extend the lifestyle of that lifetime of that barrel from 4 or 5 years to 50, 60, 80 years. We use recyclable materials. That's what I do. I do what I do in practice and every day in my business lives. I will work with the scientists to bring in proper science advice, and I will help people to stay in business and not put them out of business. I will protect rural Ireland, because if we start poking away at this, we won't have a rural Ireland. It'll be gone. And that's no joke. Look at the fishing industry. 400 boats down to 120, Gerry. We are destroying
Patrick,
our heritage.
We're
going
to have to leave it there.
Like,
thanks very much for talking to us in the programme. That's Patrick Murphy, running for A2.